BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This series is about inheritance. That is, the rules for passing on wealth, or even just a few mementos, from one generation to another. Every country has to work out how to do this. It's an old question for this one, long before we became the United Kingdom. We are a hereditary monarchy, after all, the crown generally passing to the eldest son, or since 2013, the eldest child, daughters now included. We find inheritance at the heart of great fiction. Think of Pride and Prejudice, the Bennet sisters unable to inherit their father's estate, which gave the plot all its urgency. Today, the growing number of second marriages and stepfamilies brings new problems. And of course, politicians have a lot to say. They know many people want to hand on what they've earned. But does inherited wealth make inequality worse? There's a lot to talk about, and we're going to start on a farm.
It was a hop farm, and then it moved to a dairy farm, and father bought the farm in 1974 as a dairy farm.
How many cows have you got?
We've got 120 cows.
Yep. Daniel and Claire Howlett, brother and sister, are organic dairy farmers at Wickton Farm in Herefordshire. It's small scale, they do it all without any help, and the business doesn't do much better than break even.
The problem is the milk price. Like, he started off with 40 cows and he could make a profit, yeah. And the milk price hasn't increased compared to normal costs. Yeah.
In farming, succession is a big issue, and it's one the Howlett family has recently confronted head on. In the new farm office, Claire told me her story.
When I was 10 years old, my parents sent me to France for 6 months on a French exchange. So I went over there, learnt French. So when I came back, my life turned French related. So I was very involved in, you know, doing lots of different things related to France, and went off to university and did 4 years there, a year in Paris as well.
And then you went further abroad.
Yes. So I was looking at different organizations, and one organization that came up was Projects Abroad, and they had a job going in Senegal. So I went over as a staff member. I was there for a year, absolutely loved it. And then they had another job in Cambodia, came up straight after. So I went to work in Cambodia, and then following on from that to Tanzania. So I was 3 years sort of abroad with them.
Gosh, with Senegal, with Cambodia, with Tanzania.
Very different from Herefordshire.
Very different from Herefordshire. And then what brought you back?
I mean, I'd grown up here, so I knew sort of what it was all about. I loved the cows, loved the animals, but I had never thought of it to be a career sort of move for me. So I came back here for a year to work online with the organisation and see whether, one, I got on with Daniel, whether I enjoyed the sort of farm and the business.
What were the things that brought it to a head that were really making you all think, you, Daniel, your father, this can't go on? As it was,
I think it was my parents were getting older, physically challenging for them, but also decisions were being made by my father that would ultimately affect the long-term future of the farm that he wouldn't realistically be involved in. I mean, he wasn't going to continue farming, you know, until 90-95, because it's just not sustainable. So he was making decisions, and suddenly that was going to impact on the future generations. And I think that's when you just need to take a step back and think, well, actually, these investments need to be made by the generation that are ultimately going to be farming and working day to day on the farm. So we were discussing it, but knew that even though you can talk and talk about it, something actually then needs to be done about it. And so we decided then, Daniel actually initially initiated it, was having a meeting with Sharm Bushell.
She's a consultant.
Yeah, she's a succession sort of consultant. Yeah, she'll come on to farm to work with families.
So you and Daniel reached out to Sharm and said, look, come and talk to us. In fact, you said it was a Christmas present for your father.
So
how did that work?
So Dad got a date in his diary and said, this is what's going to happen.
You mean you put the date in his diary?
Yeah. And that was, but actually I think sometimes that needs to happen. And then it's in the diary. Everybody knows about it. Sharm then came, sat us all around the kitchen table. She listens. She makes sure everyone has the opportunity to talk, doesn't judge anyone, and writes everything down, which is also very important. So that
easily not done.
Yeah, exactly. She had the whiteboard on the fridge, and that was it. We all had to sit down and say what we wanted. And I think for the first time in a long time, we all sat down as a family and went through what we wanted and what we didn't want.
Came up? What were the kind of questions and the points where you all agreed?
It was more everybody has a choice. So everybody has a choice of what they want to do, and you should never feel that your choice needs to be influenced and, you have to stay at the farm because it's going to affect your mum or your dad or something. Everybody has a choice, and the farm should be a business that runs sort of as an independent business rather than relying on family members to keep it going. And I think that's what came out for me, that it was, we shouldn't feel guilty about if you did want to leave or if you actually had changed your mind and this wasn't going to be for you.
Right, it wasn't a project in nostalgia or in kind of keeping something going for the family. This had to be a business where you'd be paid salaries.
Yeah,
it had to work properly, and you should feel free to go if you wanted.
Exactly, and Dad also, you know, my father also had the choice that if he wanted to carry on farming, that was also a choice, but that choice would ultimately affect the choices of other people.
And did you, and this is maybe a difficult point, but I mean, did you and Daniel feel that, look, if we're going to take it on, we really want to make quite a bit of change and we want to be in charge of that change?
Yes, and it did need to change, and sometimes you just need somebody to sort of give you that opportunity to change rather than feeling that you've failed. It's more, no, this is progress, not that it's not right, it just needs to move forward and things
so
change.
So what was the agreement you reached?
So we reached the agreement that over a 2-year period things would be handed over to Daniel and myself, and then the wills would be reviewed as well, and we would be open to knowing what was in the will as well. And that was very important for us because obviously you're investing your time and your whole life into something.
So you want to know whether you're going to inherit it.
Exactly. And I mean, my father still has ownership of the farm. That was never questioned. It was more that we wanted to have influence over the decisions that were going to be made, and ultimately have that independence to make those decisions without having to go into the farm kitchen to get the checkbook signed.
So you had this 2-year succession plan with your father, which might have felt a bit like a test. But anyway, you came through that and he really has handed over control.
Yes.
And then we've been walking around and there's dates all over the doors of saying, you know, 2014 this and 2015 this. So you obviously threw yourselves into putting a lot of investment in it, into changing the way it was done. Did it feel like a big surge of adrenaline and a big liberation?
It did. It felt that it needed to be done, and it gives you that energy and sort of that drive to keep moving the business forward when once you invest in something and you can see the results and the time that's sort of saved by it and how it makes things much easier. And it doesn't have to be big things. You know, it is like even this office, just moving it out from the farm kitchen into a separate sort of building next to the farmhouse. But it's a transition that was quite significant. And I think that's like the new parlour. It's all sort of a significant...
So this is a new milking parlour. And you're saying either you or Daniel can milk these 120 cows, which is 3 times the number that your father had in the beginning. And it just takes you an hour and a half... and then they go through and have a drink and something to eat, whereas it was taking your father, 8 hours a day for the 2 milking. So some things have got dramatically better very quickly. You and Daniel have taken this on, you know, quite young by the standards of when people sometimes take on farms. Neither of you is married yet and don't have children. What agreement have you got about what happens with the next generation or if one of you wants to leave?
I think, again, that was where it came in right at the beginning when we were doing that succession planning. It has to run as an independent business with realistic sort of financial projections and realistic wages, realistic cost of production. And we do focus a lot of our time on making sure that we're reviewing that every year so that if somebody wants to leave, somebody else can come in as an independent person and run it. And we were quite clear at the moment that personal lives stay sort of personal outside the business, and we run it ourselves. And then you never know what's going to happen.
You never know. But if one of you wanted to leave, what would happen then?
It would take a lot of discussion. And if the other person would like to stay at the farm and continue running it, then they have to make the decision of either downscale or employ somebody else that comes in.
So this takes a lot of communication between the family, and not just once, not just your episode with the consultant, with the whiteboard on the fridge and everything, but a lot of communication going forwards, because as you said,
absolutely,
things change.
Absolutely, Bronwyn. And I think that's the key thing, is some farmers and families don't communicate enough. And now, we were definitely a family that maybe didn't communicate as much previously, but
so
I think we've learned
from it.
It's
changed you as a family.
It has. I mean, positive and negatives. It's obviously not been all plain sailing, and a lot of people come to the farm and think, oh, you know, it's the dream story, everything's happened, it's all rosy. It's had its ups and downs, and it's been challenging for both myself and Daniel, but also for my father, having to take a step back and have a new role for himself.
Does your father still want to give advice, or has he stepped back?
No, he stepped back. He definitely has stepped back, and that's come with time. The less he's done on the farm, the less he's almost wanted to do on the farm and the cows and things. And now he's taken on new hobbies. You know, he's keeping bees and he works a lot with the Guide Dog Association. And, you know, but those are all things that maybe should have been planned several years before, so that it didn't have to be such a sort of, you know, he's now taken those couple of years to start developing alternative interests. But I think it's important for farmers to think sort of when they're 60, 65, what those alternative interests might be, so they can develop them so that they're ready to sort of take those on. And it's sort of more of a, maybe a smoother process.
He still lives here though, doesn't he? Yeah. How have you all handled that?
It's worked out really well. Again, we've put, you know, one of his things that he wanted to do, both for my mother and father, was to live in the farmhouse and continue living where they always have, which is absolutely fine. You know, everybody's got to be able to, as we said, make choices and you know, that's what they'd like
and
to do.
And he really felt he really wanted to stay in the farmhouse.
Very passionate about that. So in order to help sort of make the, maybe the process a little bit smoother, we put in like a new driveway that you will have seen as you came up that goes to the front of the farmhouse now, rather than previously it used to be coming round into the farmyard.
So he's got his own way into his own front door, and it's just that bit of separation.
Exactly. And it's just not always having to park right where everything's happening and watch everything happening. They do have their own sort of personal space, which is very important. And it's little things like that can really help the whole process, similar to moving the office out of the farmhouse into a separate adjoining building. It just gives that space, that it's a neutral space, that, you know, he can still come into the office and we can be in the office, but it's not right on his kitchen table.
You know a lot of farmers. What do you think it is about farming that makes inheritance issues so difficult?
I think because it is your family. I think it's because you have such a personal relationship with, obviously, often it is your parents, and even with your brother or for siblings, that suddenly you're changing the role maybe from parent to child. You're suddenly the one that is making the decisions, which has never been. And to change that role, it's not often confronted. In most people who are working in different areas of different businesses would never have that issue. The parent would always be the parent. And because you're working as a business together, that role suddenly changes. And physically as well, you know, obviously the children become physically more capable than the parents. And that can be very challenging, especially because it's quite a male-dominated industry. And you know, males can get quite competitive and quite physically.
It has been, though.
Yeah. So that can lead to challenges as well. Because, you know, often if you have a mixture of males, females, it often, you know, you don't have that, maybe that confrontation as much.
Not as many fights, but yeah. Maybe. But it's also, as you're saying, it's a way of life. It's not just about, you know, a pot of money that a family might want to hand on from one generation to another, even quite a small pot of money. But it's about a way of life and who's going to get that way of life and keep doing
and
that.
Very
and
personal.
Who's going to have, it's, you know, incredibly personal. If you go on to have children, would you want or expect them to take part in the farm, even to inherit it and keep working here?
I think that's a very interesting question. And actually, I think my parents handled it extremely well. We didn't ever have any pressure to come back to the farm. They were always very keen for us to explore new avenues, travel and go away. And I think I'd want that for my children. I don't think anybody should ever feel they have to be on the farm and the farm wouldn't manage with it if they weren't working. And I think it's very easy for children to sort of just feel that's the natural progression. But I think it was very healthy for both Daniel and myself to get off the farm and then make a personal decision to come back and that would be our life, rather than feeling this is what's expected of me. And I don't want to ever have that on my children either. So I always want it to be a personal choice. But I think it's a brilliant environment to grow up in. You know, it gives you a lot of life skills and it's a, you know, I mean, you couldn't wish to be in a better place for children. So, you know, hopefully in the future, you never know what's going to happen, but
it's a possibility.
It's a possibility, Robin.